Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Welcome back to Inside Look at Legal. This is Seth White.
And George Rozelle here with him.
We're here today, we're talking about some employment law issues. George Rozelle, he's a partner at our firm. He has a lot of experience in that area. And I have a burning question that comes from myself and I'm sure plenty of people, other people in Arkansas.
That may be the first burning employment-related question that I've ever heard of. I appreciate the credit.
That question is, Arkansas is an at-will employment state.
It is.
First off, what does that mean?
Well, generally speaking, that means that there is no implied contract between an employee and an employer as it relates to the term of their employment. And so for to say that in English, that means that you can quit or you can be fired at any point in time without notice, and there will be no damages as a result of that for either party. So you're not going to get in a lawsuit because you quit your job, and you're not going to get in a lawsuit generally because you fire somebody.
So that gets to the thing, and I know that there must be some do it because of your practice. How is there anything – what is the relationship between at-will employment state and employment law? Because in my mind, if it's at-will, I can fire you for any reason, for whatever.
Well, we have certain protections that the federal government has adopted, as well as our state legislature with the Arkansas Civil Rights Act, or in Missouri they have the Missouri Human Rights Act, I believe it's called. Don't quote me on that. The acronym I may not know, as well as the ACRA, as I'll call it. But in certain circumstances, the legislatures, whether they be federal or state, will adopt certain principles upon which you cannot be fired or terminated. And so, for instance, that ranges from taking a protected activity, and that's a kind of a vague term, but that can be whistleblowing if you see something that's illegal going on at your office, reporting that to the authorities. Generally speaking, the company cannot then retaliate against you. You know.
So you're saying the legislature says, we understand we're an at-will state, but if you're a whistleblower, that's an exception? Is that what it is? Or
To a degree, yes. So that's handled by the legislature in some aspects, but some aspects there's some common law to it as well. And so without getting too in-depth as to what the common law is, it's just the development of precedent over the course of our jurisprudence history or the history of our legal system where certain principles have been adopted as being right, okay? And so, you know, under the common law, whatever, you could certainly not terminate somebody for violations of public policy, and it may be a public policy for the state of Arkansas or for the country that we don't want to terminate people who have a disability. Well, that may not be very easy to enforce until we have adopted the Americans with Disabilities Act or until the federal government adopted the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which governs federal employees and people who actually have contracts with the federal government, so as to prevent discrimination on the basis of that disability. And so, generally speaking, if you're part of a protected class, and so a lot of this came about with the Civil Rights Act of the 60s.
Well, hold on, I'm going to slow you down there, because, you know, we got, you're talking even over my head. What is a protected class? What does that mean?
Well, a protected class is generally think about it from the perspective of we want to protect the idea of the minority, and it's not a minority. It's the idea that there are individuals who fall into categories that may not have the loudest voice, okay, and may not have the strongest ability to speak out, and so you certainly don't want to allow for, you know, companies or governments to suppress those voices or to keep those individuals down or oppressed, and so from that perspective, we have laws in place. Primarily governed by the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and it's been amended several times. But that's been expanded to include people on the basis of their race, their religion, their national origin, their gender, and there's several other categories that I could get into.
Well, you mentioned that, and I'm sorry to interrupt you again. I've seen it quite a bit in Northwest Arkansas, but what about age? Is that a...
So age was generally, was initially not, it's not included in the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but it is included a couple different other places. So one place that it's included is called the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. And it has some of its own standards because of some recent court holdings that the Supreme Court's reviewed that individually as opposed to along with a collective group that's included in the Civil Rights Act of 64. Arkansas also has an age statute as it relates to public employees. There's some debate upon whether that's actionable or not, but there's some language in the statute that would establish the public policy, which is generally governed by the statutes that we have on the books, that we want to protect people in their position as older employees. Now, you and I may think of elderly employees as being, you know, in their 50s and 60s because we're younger than that. But that the ADEA, as I call it, the Age Discrimination Act, actually protects people that are over the age of 40 from age discrimination. And the policy behind that's pretty clear. You don't want a company to be able to use an employee to the point where they then become expensive because of their level of expertise and then immediately replace them with somebody who's 22 years old, straight out of college, paying them half the salary. And you want people to be able to continue in employment. We don't want to put people, take them out of the private sector and to put them on government assistance programs because they're now unemployable due to their age or their risk of health issues or, you know, all of the lingering or the extra costs that come along with the aging population. So that's also a protected class too, as is being disabled.
So that's something I was kind of wondering about. I have friends who have parents that, let's say they've been at Walmart or some other entity for 30 years and they're let go, but there's also maybe they let 5 young people go at the same time, but really kind of they kind of blend it in.
Well, I can't speak to Walmart. They are not a client of ours, but at the same time, I would be hesitant to speak about any company's practices because without being in the room, you know, as far as the decision makers, it would be, I think, inappropriate for me to speculate as to what their decision-making process is. But I can tell you what companies shoot for is to have a neutral basis. Okay, so they want to make sure that whatever decision they make as it relates to layoffs, for instance, so think about like, you know, Microsoft lays off 30,000 people or 20,000 people in Washington. Maybe we'll talk about them because they're so far away. In that instance, they have a human resources department that tries, you think, in accordance with the law, really hard to make sure those decisions are not made with any sort of impact on the racial makeup, the gender makeup, the age makeup of their employment. So they want to make sure that those things are made neutrally so that way they can, you know, they would then pass that determination as to whether they were discriminatory in that decision. So they try really, really, really hard. Now, whether they get it right or not, I don't know. Usually it's a fact-intensive case-by-case analysis to look at, you know, what the specific factors were and what was used and how they determined them. You know, at this point, I think they have computer programs to do those things for them.
Wow. But my understanding is you can kind of, if there was, say, one, someone who's maybe been negatively affected, but also if there's someone who needs advice or counsel on those type of issues, that's within, that's what you do, right?
Oh, yeah. So we can help people look, and generally speaking, if they are as part of a layoff, they're given a severance package, and that severance package, if they are over the age of 40, necessarily it's required by law to give them a certain amount of time to review the documents. Generally speaking, it's 21 days to review the documents, so then you can come in and we can take a look at it. They also, you know, notify you of your right to have counsel look at the documents. We're more than happy to look at severance documents if that's what you've been, you know, that's your circumstance, to see, you know, what the what the documents mean, and that's primarily what we do, is explain to them what the legalese in those documents mean. What if you're accepting a severance package, what are you giving up, what rights are you waiving, what how does that affect you going forward in the future? And that's really important, because generally speaking, when a company and an employee are having a break or severing their relationship, you want to make sure from the company's perspective that all lingering issues between yourself and that person are over. I mean, because you want to be able to go on without there being some sort of tangential case or some sort of issue that's left unresolved by that severance. And from the employee's perspective, it's very important that you are able to consider whether or not you may have some sort of other actionable claim, or let's say you have a pending workers' compensation case, for instance. You want to make sure that as long as you're injured and you're getting treatment, that by accepting a severance package, which, you know, is ideally not based upon your injury at work, by accepting a severance package, you're not giving up the right to continue to get those benefits. And so when someone brings that into our office, what we do is we sit down with them. Generally, it only takes a couple of consults, if anything. I mean, we ask for the documents and we'll review them with them. We sit down with them for an hour or two, however long it takes, to make sure they understand what it is they're signing. And that's a lot of times what, you know, people think that lawyers are always just in the courtroom, or they're in depositions, or they're yelling and screaming at other lawyers. But a lot of times what we're actually doing is just going through and explaining the processes to our clients to let them know what it is that they're agreeing to. And it may sound boring and it may seem trivial, but that's very important for our clients when they come in with lots of questions, and they leave with those questions answered and they feel comfortable in whatever decision they've made as it relates to that document or agreement that they've been presented with, or anything else as it relates to their employment or their work. They know more because they've come to us and we've been able to educate them and walk them through the legal system in that regard.
Well, George, I appreciate you enlightening me. I think I've come away with a much greater understanding of that burning question I had.
All right, so let me ask you, what is an at-will employee, Seth?
An at-will employee can leave or be fired whenever they want, but the key catch is there's a lot of issues that in legislation and stuff that's been passed to help people from being discriminated against unfairly or inappropriately, and those are exceptions to that standard.
That's a pretty fair statement.
So that's my layman's takeaway from George Rozell's clinic on employment law. But if you need anything related to employment law, or anything related to pretty much any kind of law, our firm can do it, and you can visit us at arkattorneys.com. or call us at 479-621-0006. Thanks for coming on, George.
Thank you, Seth.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.